Actually, today's text is going to be Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6, verse 3. So if you have your pew Bibles there, please turn to it. This is Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through chapter 6, verse 3. And I'll give people time to get to there.
It is on the back of the bulletin. I think you have
it. It is also? Okay. Then we're good. Thank you. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and take him forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. An elderly woman had just returned to her home for at an evening of church services when she was startled by an intruder. She caught the man in the act, and she yelled to the man, "Stop, Acts 2:38. And that verse means is, repentance, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that your sins may be forgiven. The burglar stopped in his tracks. The elderly woman calmly called the police. An elderly woman took action. And when the police came, they asked what she said. She said, "Stop, Acts 2:38. And then the police interviewed the burglar, and they asked him what she had said. He said, "Scripture." She said she had an axe in 2:38. That his conduct was changed when he had heard about repentance. And we have talked in this Lenten season about stopping sin before it spreads. We have talked also about not staying still, about moving forward. And we read here in Hebrews, and Hebrews has some of the most challenging texts in Scripture, is that we are to keep going. We are to keep maturing. And we read there, talking about you do not need milk, you need solid food. You no longer have to be an infant. And then, in verse 6, we get the therefore. Let us move forward. Let us go beyond the basics. Let us mature in faith. Let us go beyond. We need to change, but not just to simply change direction. We need to keep pressing onward as soldiers of the cross, as ambassadors, as freed people who've been freed from the bondage of sin and death. Salvation starts when we find ourselves dead in our sins to the point where it suddenly becomes apparent how unhealthy that condition is. Read a dictionary definition of repentance. You usually find a definition which includes words like contrition, remorsefulness. As you read the definition, note how flowery and impressive that definition is. And you might even want to look those words up. But the Greek word is much more basic. The Greek word for repentance meant turn around. You're going the wrong way. You're following the wrong road, the wrong leader. Turn around. There was one night I was driving to Granbury from Fort Worth, and I was on Highway 377, and there was someone driving the wrong way on the highway, coming straight at me, and I wish that person had repented and turned around. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 41, tells us that at one time we were following the ways of the world, following the ruler of the kingdom of the air, gratifying the cravings and desires that were destroying us. We were going the wrong way. We needed to repent. If you look at the book of Romans, in the first two chapters, Paul says, Gentiles, you need to change. You need to leave behind your old ways. Then he said, wait a second, Jews, you need to also change and leave behind the way in which we're going. And he continues on saying, for the wages of sin is death. But then he gets to chapter 8. And at the beginning of chapter 8, Paul says, but God demonstrates his love for us. He gave us his only son. And then we can live new life. Over and over again in Scripture, we read that the people were going the wrong way and they had to turn around. And we see that in the book of Judges. Over and over again, the people would worship false gods. They would not bring appropriate sacrifices to their gods. And over again, God had to raise up a judge to get them to move the right direction. Moses kept having headaches. He was trying to lead a nation that kept wanting to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to slavery. They were tired of manna. They were tired of walking around and getting all this dust on their sandals. They were tired of 40 years in the desert. They wanted to turn around. But we can also look at the life of Jonah. Nineveh, Assyria, had conquered the northern kingdoms. They were the most powerful and wicked group of people in the world. They enslaved people, they pillaged and plundered, they destroyed nations. And when Jonah heard God saying, you go over there and tell them to repent, Jonah said, I think I'll take the next ship out of here. And of course, Jonah learned that when you run from God, God's still going to come after you. And sent that huge fish to come and eat him up and send him back packing. And to tell the people of Nineveh, repent, turn away. Just like God sent John the Baptist to tell the people, turn from what you were doing. Just like God sent his son. And he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repentance is like seeing the sign dead end up ahead. It means we can't get where we're going on the road. And that reminds me of that sign that says, slow children. Does that sign mean if there's fast children, you're okay? If you see any slow ones, you need to be really careful. But dead end, it is a trip to the grave. What you're doing has no benefit. We read in Psalms and Proverbs that there's a way of the righteous, that there's a way of the wicked, and that we have to follow the way of the righteous. That we have a choice that we have to make. Repentance was at the heart of the apostles' message in Acts. Chapter 3, verse 19. Repent then and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out. The time of refreshings may come from the Lord. And think about that on those hot summer days when it's over 100 degrees. And I don't know what your favorite beverage might be. It might be iced tea. It might be a soda. But the time of refreshing can come. But if repentance is so important, why does the writer of Hebrews say we must get beyond it? Throughout Scripture, we're told that we're to keep growing. Growing takes time. No children are born fully grown. All children need to grow. They need to learn to walk, to talk, shapes, colors, to be polite, to acquire social skills. When I taught middle school, I knew that they needed to acquire social skills. Because when you would go into the classroom and you'd be around a lot of middle school children, you knew two things. You knew, one, boys did not like showers or baths. And you knew that very quickly. And you knew, two, girls put on far too much perfume. So you have to grow in maturity just like a child, just like a teenager, just like relationships. We all need to grow. Imagine the first time that you drove a car in driver's ed. What if your driving skills never matured beyond that? Imagine what the streets would be like, and they're already bad. But every skill that we have, we learn at. We practice. Think about how long it takes Olympians, giving up day after day after day to craft their skill. Or soldiers who day after day have to master what they have to do so when the time of battle comes, they are ready. Or a skilled potter or a skilled painter has to practice day by day, night by night. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 10 through 11. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always right and good for us, because it means we will share in His holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It is painful. But after, there is a quiet harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Over and over we read about training, discipline, maturing, pressing on to the future. An oak tree can take up to hundreds of years to grow. By comparison, a squash takes only a few months. The question is, do you want to be a squash or an oak tree? There are no shortcuts. You need to be in it for the long haul. We read in Psalms chapter 1 to be planted by water, that our roots will grow deep so that we can stand when the difficult times come. Are we like a squash or are we like a tree? Henry Longfellow said this, "The purpose of that apple tree is to grow a little new wood each year. That is what I plan to do." And you notice, this isn't some three steps. You do these three things, everything in life will be smooth. No. The biblical writers talked about maturity, talked about growing in grace. There weren't any microwaves in ancient Israel. You don't just put in something and instantly you have a new Christian. That it's a season of growth. James Dobson, the founder of Focus on the Family, talked about how growth takes effort. You should set your goals high and direct your energies towards achieving them. Train your mind, develop your skills, discipline your appetites. Prepare for the future. Work hard. Go for it. You can't steal second with one foot on first. And I remember, as a Denver Broncos fan, watching John Elway, year after year, he would be very good and his offensive line and defense weren't so good. He actually went to the Super Bowl three different times, and his team was crushed by teams with better defenses, by teams with better running games. He was just the quarterback. He could do much on his own, but he couldn't win the game by himself. But he persevered. He stayed at it. And eventually, he retired a Super Bowl champion as the pieces were assembled around him that were needed. If John Elway had given up, he would have never seen the prize. Or Michael Jordan, when he didn't start on his high school basketball team, if he had given up, he would have never seen the prize. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 through 16. Until I get there, focus on reading the scriptures to the church, encouraging the believers and teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gift you've received through the prophecy spoken to you when the elders of the church laid their hands on you. Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into the tasks so that everyone will see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on your teaching. Stray true to what is right, and God will save you and those who hear you. Think about Pilgrim's Progress. There were all those times that Pilgrim could have stayed in Vanity Fair, could have become discouraged, could have turned around, but Pilgrim kept going. And growth takes change. For the most part, people don't like change. People avoid it at all times. I don't like it when there's something on my phone that changes. I don't like it when there's something around me that changes. For example, take the standard keyboard. Have you ever noticed how far apart the keys are that we most often use? Originally, this arrangement of keys was to slow down typing speed. Back in the 1800s, typewriters used to jam if the typist went too fast. But then about 45 years ago, the Dvorak simplified keyboard was invented. On this keyboard, the most frequently used keys were placed in the same home row. Brought all those keys you use a lot in the middle, and those Z's were on the edge. You could do 56% more work with your right hand than the left hand. So it was helpful for right-handed people. And you could type 7 times faster with this new keyboard. But when it came out, everybody complained. Why are you changing what works? I'm used to typing with this keyboard. Why do you keep changing everything around me? In the Old Testament, Abraham had to make major changes in his life to live a faithful life. Genesis chapter 12, then the Lord told Abram, leave your country, leave your relatives. For some of us that would be hard, for some of us maybe not so hard. And your father's house, and go to the land I will show you. I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous. I will make you a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. All the families of the earth will be blessed through you. Imagine that. He left his family. He left his nation. He left his language. He left his culture. He left all those things that we depend on. But through faith, he became the father of the nations. He stepped out on faith and he grew. Winston Churchill said this, to improve is to change, to be perfect is to have changed often. That he saw the importance of change. And lastly, growth takes help. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. That every single part has an important role to play. And we see that in our cars. That just one small piece can go wrong in our cars. One valve, one fuel injector, one spark plug. And if we don't fix that, we get a much bigger bill down the road. That it's a complete system. And just like that is the church, that we all depend on one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, we also depend on God. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do, and you will know how good and pleasing and perfect His will is. So we were talking about babies, and there's 7 rules supposedly to promote good health in babies. And surprisingly, these can also help us. Daily food, taking the pure milk of the Word through regular Bible study. We saw Christ do it. The Bible calls upon us to read His Word, to meditate on His Word. Fresh air. Pray often or you will faint. Prayer is the oxygen of the soul. Regular exercise. Put into practice what you learn. Adequate rest. Rely on God at all times. And you saw that Jesus, He would minister, then He would retreat to pray and rest. He did it over and over again. Clean surroundings. Avoid whatever will weaken you spiritually. Loving care. Be a part of a church where you'll benefit from teaching and fellowship. And periodic checkups. Regularly examine your spiritual health. So we've talked about how we need to not let sin spread. We've talked about how we need to keep going and move in the right direction. And we need to not just stop as newborn babes to mature in our Christian faith. And today is a chance that we all have to examine ourselves and see what we need to do. If you need to come and pray at this altar, if you need to come and join the church, if you feel that God is calling you to do something, now is the time.